my beautiful and lovely sisters. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is the Pearls for My Sister podcast, and we are in episode 3. I'm so excited. I am Minister Andrine Tomlinson. I am the founder and CEO of Pearls for My Sister LLC. I'm also an educator. I've been teaching for about 14 years now, I believe. I'm not always sure. And I'm just so excited to have you join us today. Thank you for taking the time. I would also like to start off by just saying thank you to those who listened to the first 2 episodes and gave me much needed feedback and also much needed encouragement. You know, it's not easy to put yourself out there and to share some things that are personal to you. And so I'm grateful that you guys gave me feedback and kind of calmed my soul and my spirit so that I'm able to keep going. I hope you guys have been enjoying the episodes, and I hope that you have gotten something from it. Thank you again so much for joining us today. If you've listened to the first 2 episodes, you know that we have been doing a series on self-love, which is something that's personally near and dear to my heart because it is a journey that I am currently on, a self-love journey. In our first episodes, we just laid the foundation and talked about how important self-love is and how it's a requirement. And I mentioned that on my self-love journey, I have started with self-talk. And so that led us to episode 2, where we kind of delved a little bit deeper into self-talk and how do we talk to ourselves? How do we come up with these things that we say to ourselves? I know what I shared that for me when I made a mistake. My first go-to is to tear myself down and to say horrible, mean things to myself. At least that has been the case in the past. So once I decided that I'm going to love myself, once I made that decision, the first thing that I targeted was how I spoke to myself. So in last week's episode, I gave you 3 steps that I came up with to help you in revamping the way you talk to yourself. The first step was to assess, and this is where you really start to think deeply, maybe even journal about how do you talk to yourself? What are some things that you say to yourself? Are they things that are kind? Are they true? Are they things that uplift you and make you feel good? Or are they things that tear you down and dampen your spirit and your heart? And we also talked a little bit about where do these thoughts even come from? Where do these things come from? Are they coming from voices from our childhood? Could it have been things that we've encountered in high school or middle school that we're still repeating and saying to ourselves, even though our current reality has disproven them, our current reality is proving an opposite of what is being said? So we looked at assess, and then the next very important step was to make the decision that from now on, I will talk better to myself. I will speak in a kinder tone. I will say words that encourage, words that lift, words that build, because we know in the word that God says that life and death is in the tongue, right? Life and death is in the tongue. So if what we're saying, is it killing us? Is it wounding us? Or is it bringing life to us? Is it infecting us with hope and peace and joy and love? Okay, and so you have to make that decision right away. Once you've assessed and you've seen how you talk to yourself, now you make that decision, I will change. I will do better. And then the final step for that 3-step process was to counterattack. Counterattacking by, first of all, getting to know yourself, because you are going to come against the lies that the enemy has implanted in your mind, or that society has implanted in your mind, or that mama or daddy did, or, you know, the childhood bully, whoever has implanted those negative things in your mind, or it could even be you yourself has implanted those things in your mind because of what you've gone through in the past. You've made these judgments about yourself. Once you have decided that you are going to stop it, now you're going to counterattack with the truth. And so in order to know the truth and let it set you free, come on, Jesus, right? In order to know this and let it set you free, you have to get to know yourself. So for me, I mentioned that I always thought that I was lazy because I just was somebody who put things off to the last minute, or, you know, I just seemed like I just didn't do the things that I was supposed to do. And then after really getting to know myself, I realized that I am actually a very hard worker. Once I know what to do, I am very, very dedicated and I will work on it forever. I will put my all into whatever it is. But the problem arises when I don't know what to do, when I am not sure how to start something, when it seems so overwhelming and large. And so because I know that now, if the enemy or my mind or circumstances or anyone comes to me and says, well, you're lazy, I can counter that immediately and say, no, I'm not. No, I am not lazy. I've proven to myself that I am a hard worker and I know how to get things done. So when I come up against a task that seems overwhelming and I don't want to do it, I just break it down into smaller tasks. Like my best friend Gia has told me, you know, something about a frog. How do you cook a frog? Is that the one? Or how do you eat an elephant? Like one bite at a time. I don't remember what she said. But I know the gist of what she was saying is to break it down into smaller tasks. And that's what I have learned to help me get things done. And so that truth that I have now, I can counter with that lie. So that's one thing that the enemy cannot come up against me with, is that I'm lazy. And so once you really get to know yourself, that's how you will begin to really counterattack and to really come against those things that has been spoken over you. You know, like things, lies like that you're not beautiful. You need to really look in the mirror and really see how exquisitely made you are. The Bible, God says that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. You think about how amazing and incredible and powerful God is. And the fact of the matter is, you are his creation. You are beautiful. You are wonderfully and perfectly made. And all of your supposed flaws, in all of your supposed imperfections, you have to see your own beauty before other people will even recognize it. Because when we don't feel beautiful, when we don't feel that we're worthy, it impacts the way that we present ourselves to others, right? And I know this from personal experience, guys. I am just now in my 39th year really doing this work to really start to acknowledge that, yes, I have a few more pounds than I need to, but that doesn't, you know, negate the fact that I'm gorgeous, right? I'm beautiful. You see these eyes, these lashes? You know, you big yourself up and you look at how beautiful you are. Maybe your skin is flawless. I totally admire people with flawless skin because that's just not my gifting, right? Or you look at how beautifully shaped your eyes are, or you look at how your lips are just beautiful, or, you know, some people pay for wonderful, sumptuous lips. You know, look at how the line of your body is curved. Like if we focus on the things that we can appreciate, then we can see our value. And of course, we already know when I say value that your value is not necessarily in your looks. But if that is an area that you have been putting yourself down about, embrace the things that are wonderful, you know, work on the things that maybe are not so wonderful that you want to change. And those things that you cannot change, you accept those and you thank God, because he, in all his great wisdom, that is how he chose to create you. That is what he gave you. And I mean, who's greater than God, right? The media is not greater than God. My, you know, the person out in the street is not greater than God. So we defer to his wisdom and we try to look at ourselves through his eyes. So for, I said a little bit more than I planned, but it's so important for counterattacking for us to really build ourselves up and really come against some of those lies and just really accept yourself. Self-love is about acceptance. And once you accept yourself, it makes the counterattacking these lies so much easier. So this week, in this week's episode, knowing what, you know, we're building on what we learned last year, what we talked about last week. And we're going to look at a few more things. In this week's episode, we're going to double down a little bit more because I felt like there were some things last week that I didn't really get to talk about in terms of self-talk. And so we're going to look at a few things today in this episode. We're going to talk about how to know yourself better, because like I said, you can't counterattack with the truth if you don't know the truth. So how do you get to know yourself better? We're going to look at how to build an arsenal of affirmation, an arsenal of words that you can use to come against those negative things that pop up in your mind. We're going to talk about what do you do when you are in that moment where, you know, you can feel yourself, whatever, something has triggered you, and now you're in meltdown mode and the negative thoughts are coming and you are hating yourself. What do you do in that moment? And we're going to talk about how important it is to be loyal to yourself. We're going to do a little bit of discussion about self-respect. So those are some of the things that I have on the agenda for today's episode. And I really hope and pray that I'm able to really be a blessing to you be a blessing to you and be a blessing to me, because this podcast is helping me too, right? So our first stop on this in this episode is to talk about how to know yourself. You cannot really say that you love yourself until you really know yourself. So getting to know yourself, guys, is not instantaneous. It's something that happens from experience. But obviously, you're not going to know yourself if you don't start. So we need to, if you have not really gotten to a place where you really know yourself, then today's the day. Today's the day to start this journey of getting to know who you are and getting to know who you really are, not what society says you are or should be, not who your family says you are or should be, not who your friends think you are or should be, not the people on your job. Just who are you? Who did God create you to be? That authentic self. When he created you, he had someone in mind. Remember, he's your creator. He's your maker. He had your specific DNA figured out, your specific purpose. He chose your specific time. And so there was someone that he had in mind. And the thing is, the enemy is real. The enemy, the world, people, the media, they spend a lot of time tearing away at who we are. They spend a lot of time trying to mold and shape us to fit their specific image. And so a lot of us, you know, and this is not, obviously, I can't speak for everyone, but a lot of us, we grow up with these character traits and we think that those traits represent who we are. But if we really do the work, we realize that some of those things really are not accurate. Those are not truly who we are. And so we have to take the time to do that work to really figure it out. You know, what do I like? What are some things I like to do? What do I like to do in my spare time? What gives me joy? What makes me happy? What makes me sad? What makes me cry? What makes me angry? You know, really doing that work. Like, what are my dreams? Where do I want to be in 5 years? Like, and not just what I think I should, where I should be at, not what I think this is a checklist that, you know, life has placed on me, but like, where do I want to be in 5 years? What kind of person do I want to be? What kind of woman? What are my values? What do I value? You know, what kind of people do I like to hang around? Like, who do I like to hang around with? Who are the people that I'm close to? Who do I get along with better? These are all things that you get to know yourself. When I come against a challenge, how do I react? How do I feel when I feel overwhelmed, when I'm stressed? What do I do? Like, really getting into knowing yourself, being more mindful. And I think the first way that you can do this is basically through journaling. I have been journaling since I was probably in middle school. I think in middle school, I learned that I like to write poetry. I discovered poetry. But I know I've been keeping a journal for the longest, and I still have the journals. And I still get so sad when I read through them to see my younger self and the hurt and the insecurity and just trying to find her place. And throughout it, I can see my journey. I can see how I've become the person I am today. And so once you journal, after a while, when you go back and you look at it, you'll have a great picture, a clearer picture of who you are. I think getting to know yourself regardless, or, you know, beneath what all that society and everybody puts on you, really getting to know your true self is something that you owe yourself before the Lord comes or takes you home, right? To really know, who is this person? There are some strengths that you have that other people might not have. There are some weaknesses you have that you have to embrace. You have to embrace the whole thing. And so getting to know yourself also means knowing your flaws. Some of us have dreams that we want to achieve, and we say that we're not disciplined enough. I'm not disciplined enough. I'm not disciplined enough. But the fact of the matter is, you don't really know yourself. Like, once you know yourself, you can address those things that stop you from accomplishing what you want. So, for example, the example I gave about the fact that, you know, I thought I was lazy and I wasn't able to accomplish anything, I realized that's because I get overwhelmed. So now I can put into place a plan to help me when I'm overwhelmed. So, you know, a lot of us say, I'm just not disciplined. I just can't lose weight. Think about it more carefully. Think about your habits. Think about the things that you do. For me, I know I have a huge sweet tooth, and I'm currently on a weight loss journey, guys. So I know that I love sugar. I know that I'm like, I love candy. I love cake. And so what I learned is not to buy it, not to bring it into the house. And if I'm craving it, only to buy like a single serving or to share it with someone, because I know myself, right? And so once you know yourself, you can make better decisions to help you accomplish what you want to accomplish. So there is definitely a benefit to getting to know yourself. And I think it's something that is definitely necessary. Do I know completely who I am? No. Let me tell you something. I feel like every year as I get older, I learn more about it. And I don't feel like you really truly know yourself until you go through something really difficult. And then you really see your true colors. And then you really see, you know, like going through breast cancer and going through chemotherapy and going through all that. It taught me a lot. Going through that hardship taught me a lot. And so that's another way that you learn about yourself. Not that I'm wishing hardship on anybody, but I'm just saying that's another way. Life experiences, as you're going through life, that's how you discover who you are. So this journey to knowing yourself, it's not going to be instantaneous. It's not. You take the steps, you make sure that you're more mindful. You ask yourself those questions and you journal. Also, there are some websites that have self-knowledge inventory checklists. They have tests. You can Google them. I've seen a few. Some of them might try to, you know, get you to sign up for something, but some of them, it might be even looking at the questions, even if it's not necessarily them giving you the result to tell you who you are or what you like or whatever, but to give you some idea of the questions that you might want to ask yourself. And that will give you a clearer picture of who you are, or who, at least who you perceive yourself to be, right? And also, one great way that you can get to know yourself more is to talk to your friends. And talk to trusted friends, not toxic friends, not frenemies, not people who have a grudge against you. Talk to people who really love you and who really want to see you shine. People who you know can be honest with love, right? Because for me, honesty without love is just meanness, right? So who can be honest and in a loving way, who can really tell you, like my best friends, they, you know, because sometimes we can't really see ourselves clearly. And so they will tell me, you know, they will tell, like, my, I didn't realize that I was like a helper until my best friend pointed out to me that, you know, you really do like to help sometimes to a fault, you know, like you really like to help others. And I didn't really even know that about me. So your best friends, your close friends, your spouse, of course, you guys, please only seek it from people who love you. If you know somebody is a hater, or you know somebody is not for your good, don't go to them and ask them to tell them about you, because that's just going to make you feel worse. So talk to trusted, intimate friends who actually know you. If you've only known somebody for 3 months, don't ask them to tell you who you are or what they think about you. That's still surface, right? You want somebody who knows you, who's been through life with you, somebody who's been through things with you. And you can ask them, like, well, how, what kind of person am I? How would you describe me? What do you think are some of my strengths? And open up your ears and really listen to what they're saying. And of course, if it's something, you know, if you think about the person who's saying it, think about the heart behind it, the intent behind it, before you take it into yourself. And also, you, of course, have to vet everything that you hear, right? But don't be somebody who blocks out the truth because you don't like what it's saying. Because somebody, if they tell you something negative about yourself, you just look at that as, you know what, that's something that I can work on as I go on my self-love journey. Because trust me, there are things that I know I need to work on. I need to work on standing up for myself. I need to work on not being so nice. Did you guys know that nice can be like really bad? Like being too nice and being, you know, I like to help, but being too helpful, that's not good for others. People can take advantage of you and you're not allowing people to do for themselves, right? So there are some things that you, that are going to come up throughout your getting to know yourself journey that are not going to be pretty. And that's okay. We are human. God made us in his image, but we are living in an imperfect world, and we're human, and we're not going to be perfect until he comes back, hopefully soon, because I'm ready to go. But, you know, so you accept yourself, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You work on what you can, you know, and those things that you cannot change, you accept them, and you just accept them as part of who you are. Okay, so that's the first thing we wanted to talk about in terms of, you know, expanding on the self-talk is getting to know yourself, because once you know yourself, now you can really come against some of those lies, some of those evil things that have been said about you. And you can do it in power and confidence, knowing that you are strongly knowing yourself. And guys, if it's something that, you know, not all negative things that people have said are things that, you know, are curses or things, but you know when things are evil, when things have no merit, things that people shouldn't be saying to you, you know the difference versus somebody who's giving you honest feedback and critique that you can take and you can work on yourself with. I also wanted to talk about the importance of self-reflection and getting to know yourself. That's something that we should do often. As an educator, I have to constantly be reflecting on myself and reflecting on my teaching practices, reflecting on how I interact with the kids, reflecting on my classroom management, you know, reflecting on my job, my career. And that's something that you do to, if you want to be an effective at whatever career path you take. As a person, we have to always be reflecting and really thinking about, you know, like a conversation that we had. You don't feel, you know, if I have a conversation and I walk away and I'm not feeling at peace about it, then I need to reflect. I need to reflect on me, and I need to reflect on what was said. I need to have a reflection. You need to reflect on, I don't know, if you're feeling upset, why am I feeling upset? You need to be reflecting on your life. Like, I have come this far, you know, this is what month are we in? September. The year is about, you know, not almost over, but it's getting there. We need to take those times for reflection, reflecting on our choices. And this is part of getting to know yourself, really looking at your choices, the decisions that you make, thinking about why do you make the decision that you make. I assume that I'm talking to adults. And as adults, we really do have to reflect on why do I do the things that I do? The things that I do, are these things that are a benefit to me? Guys, I'm preaching to the choir because I am the first one to tell you, I have to reflect on myself. The quarantine forced me into a place of self-reflection where I had to face myself and I had to really think about my health. You know, I'm a cancer survivor. Am I eating foods that are going to be nourishing to my body? Have I been exercising? I had to put myself on the block. I'm not American. On the cutting block, is that what it's called? I'm not sure about the idiom, but I had to put myself on the line, on the block, whatever. And I had to bring myself to the carpet. I think I'm good with that one. And really reflect on myself in terms of my finances. Have I been a good steward of what God has blessed me with? Or have I been spending my money on foolishness? You know, in terms of my appearance, have I been, you know, especially during the quarantine, you know, a lot of us couldn't really go get our nails done, our eyebrows done and all that. But in terms of what I can do, have I been taking care of myself? Have I been using this time off as an excuse to just be lazy and let myself go? Like, so self-reflection into thinking about, you know, where do I want to be at the end of the year? I need to reflect on myself, you know? And so that's how my self-love journey started. I told you guys, it's only been a few months. I know I'm talking like I'm an expert, but it's because I've been doing my research and I've been reflecting and I have been praying and I've been seeking God and I've been watching a lot of videos. I've been reading a lot of books, you know, just really reflecting on this because this is something that I have decided that is necessary that I have to do. So self-reflection is absolutely necessary. We have to reflect. And I feel like that's part of being mindful. When you reflect on your actions, you reflect on your decisions, you reflect on what you're doing, you reflect on how you're feeling, you think about, okay, this is how far in the year it is. Let me think about where I want it to be by this point. And what can I do from this point on to accomplish some of those goals that I had set at the beginning of the year? Okay, so these are the things that have happened now. You have to reflect because the COVID was like a huge wrench in the engine. Oh Lord, guys, forgive me for my my idiom. This my lack of idioms, which is funny because I teach idioms to the kids. But it was a wrench in the works, or whatever that idiom is, right? It was a huge wrench that derailed a lot of people's dreams. But a lot of people were able to come out of it. A lot of people used this time to really revamp their lives, to really branch out, to start new businesses. So it was a huge wrench in the in whatever that is in your life. And so for some people, so now is the time for you to really reflect on that and to really think about, okay, now this is where I am going forward. What do I want to do? Looking back on where I've come from, what can I learn from that? And so reflection, self-reflection is super important in terms of getting to know yourself. And of course, you know, my go-to is to journal. If you are not somebody who likes to write, I don't know about, you know, the Samsungs, I don't know about the Android system. I'm only an Apple girl, but I know on the iPhone, there's a memo that you can just record things. So you can just speak your mind into it. You can talk to it and then you can go back and listen to it later. I'm sure Samsung, because you know, I'm big into Korean stuff. I'm sure that they have a memo or something on there that you can use, or you can get yourself a tape recorder. You can, some people even like to just film a video of themselves on the phone talking to themselves. Whatever floats your boat, just a few tips. I hope I was clear about how to get to know yourself. Okay, so I wanted to go a little bit deeper into the counterattack. The first stage of the counterattack is to know yourself, right? To really get to know yourself so that you can come against some of those negative beliefs that you have been carrying for a long time. So the way that I look at the counterattack, you need to have an arsenal, right? If we're looking into this analogy, like somebody's at war, if you're going to counterattack somebody, then you have to have some sort of weapon, right? And so if you don't have an arsenal, what are you counterattacking with, right? So as you get to know yourself, the truth about who you are will be revealed, and you can come against it with that, because the best weapon is the truth. You know, the Bible says that you shall know the truth and it shall set you free. And I'm sure I'm using that out of context, but this actually applies. So you shall know the truth about yourself and it will set you free from these negative this negative thought. So you know the negative thoughts that pop into your head. You know the script that runs. And I don't know when yours might pop up, but mine popped up whenever I did something that, you know, whenever I felt like I didn't meet a certain standard, I did something that I shouldn't have, right? And so that's when the negative script would start playing in my head, and I would let it play and I would accept it and I would feel depressed, but no more. So since you know the negative thoughts that pop into your head, you need to come up with an arsenal of affirmations about how will you answer them. And I definitely believe affirmations work if you believe them and you work them, right? So you start, you can even start before the negative thoughts even pop into your head. Maybe every day when you wake up, you can say a couple of affirmations to yourself ahead of time so that you're already feeling positive about yourself. So you can start saying things like, I am beautiful. You know, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am highly favored of God. You can say things like, I am strong. I matter. I am valuable. I have purpose and I have a reason for being here. I was supposed to be here. I am not, you know, like God created you on purpose. Like you can, whatever kind of affirmations. And if you go on Google, you can find a list. If you just look up affirmations for loving yourself and see what pops up, you will see a lot of websites that have affirmations already. There's one called cakes2kale.com. That's the first thing that pops up for my Google when I look it up. And it has affirmations that say like, I am enough. I matter. Today I will learn and grow. Life does not have to be perfect to be great. Happiness is found within. I am beautiful, right? And so those are just some things. If you start your day off with positivity already, so you have those in your arsenal. So when the negative things come up, you have something to counterattack them with. And another tip is to pretend that you hear a close friend saying these things to themselves. Some of the negative things that come up, pretend that it's a close friend that you hear saying these. I can tell you guys from personal experience, I have really awesome friends. So whenever I even make a hint that I'm saying something negative about myself, even if in my mind this is clearly true, I'm not being negative, I'm just saying the truth, you know, they come against it immediately, guys. When I tell you that they shut me down, they shut me down. They're like, nope, you're not going to say that about yourself. You are this, you are that, you are beautiful. And, you know, they real. And I'm so blessed with awesome friends. And so you put yourself in that same shoe, because if you were an awesome person, which I'm sure you are, I know that you would also come against it, because I do the same thing for them. I'm like, you're too hard on yourself. Don't speak to yourself like that. But then when it comes to me, I fall apart. So start looking at it from that perspective. Like, if it was somebody else that was saying that they're ugly, if it was somebody else that was saying they're stupid, somebody else that was saying they're broke and they'll never amount to anything and all these things, immediately we would, even if it wasn't even a close friend, if it was another human being that's saying this, if you are any type of a person who, you know, a caring person, you're going to speak up and say, no, don't say that about yourself. I'm sure that's not true. And you try to comfort them. So think about yourself like that. Like, you are also deserving of that comfort, right? You're also deserving of that positivity, that kindness, that tenderness. And that's how I have to look at it. Because like I said, I'm sure I mentioned this before, you know, we treat other people better than the way that we treat ourselves. The things that we wouldn't even dare to open our mouths to say to somebody because we are decent human beings, we would say to ourselves. So get some affirmations and think about it from the perspective of, I am my best friend. I am my best friend. You know, I have to live with myself until, you know, when Jesus comes or takes me home, right? So I have to nourish myself the way that I nourish my best friends. Right. I have to speak to myself the way that I speak to my best friends. I have to come hard for myself and the way that I come hard, because that's me, guys. I am, you know, people say that I'm soft spoken and I am very non-threatening. But when you come against somebody that I care about, suddenly I have a big mouth. Suddenly I am super brave. You know, like, I will speak up for the people that I care about. And so we need to do the same thing for ourselves, because that's, like I said, that's an area I struggle with. I can speak up for my students. I can speak up for my godson. I can speak up for my best friends. I can speak up for my mom. You better not try my family members. You know, anybody that I love, I care about, even somebody I don't know. If I see somebody, you know, being unfair or something, I might speak up for them. But when it comes for me and I'm in that situation where I need to speak up for me, that's something that I have to work on. So we need to work on being our own best friends, and we need to work on the way that we speak to ourselves. So start building your arsenal today. Remember that kindness is a weapon, and we're not talking about, you know, kindness. Kindness is a weapon. That just sounds so contradictory. But it is. Kindness is a great weapon. You ever heard people say, kill them with kindness, right? That kindness can be used as a weapon, you know. So, but when we're talking about kindness, the kindness will be part of your arsenal. Kindness to yourself, and not just in the words that you say, not just saying kind words, but also the way, the tone. Guys, we know. How, you know, you can say something, but if you can be saying something totally innocuous, totally innocent, but if you say it in the wrong tone, somebody's ready to fight, right? And so we have to be very gentle and kind with the tone in which we speak to ourselves. You know, like, I have to do that. Sometimes I have to call myself on it, you know, and then I apologize. I sound crazy a little bit, but it's true. I apologize to myself. I say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have spoken to you like that. Because we have to be kind. If I wouldn't allow another person to speak to me in this tone, then I better not speak to myself in this tone, right? Like, I don't get a free pass because, you know, I am me. Now I'm sounding a little, but it's true. I don't get a free pass. If I believe that I am valuable and I'm worthy enough for nobody, if nobody disrespect me, then I'm not going to disrespect myself either. So this is part of the counterattack, is developing an arsenal. Like I said, I think if you write your own, it'll be more personal and it will be more targeted towards your own personal situation. But if you can't think of any, use some on the internet. I am going to put some a list of affirmations. I'm going to gather some resources from the internet, and I'm going to put those up on prosformysister.com. And I might also share it on facebook.com/prosformysister and on Instagram as well. So if you want to find some affirmations, you can visit that. You can go to prosformysister.com. Just looking on Google right now, guys. I'm seeing so many resources for affirmation. There are videos. I looked up affirmations to help you love yourself. And there are totally tons of resources. So I'll put together some websites that you can visit. And I will even maybe put together a list of affirmations that you might want to use until you can come up with your own affirmation, right? And just remember, guys, to be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. You are valuable and you are precious. Be kind to you. Now that we've talked about the counterattack, let's talk about what happens. What do you do when you are in a self-talk crisis or meltdown? This is happens for me when, like I said, when I don't do something I'm supposed to do. Well, it has happened in the past because I don't do it anymore. But in the past, it happened when I felt like I let somebody down or when I made a mistake. Maybe I said something I shouldn't have said, you know, and I just feel so rotten inside that I might start berating myself. And it becomes, you know, it becomes a snowball. It becomes a snowball. And of course, guys, you know, I'm thinking now, like, not everybody goes through this. Not everybody experiences this. So I'm really talking to those people who know what I'm talking about. Those people who have been in that situation where you really have had that kind of a snowball effect where, you know, you just feel disappointed in yourself and then the negative thoughts come and then it builds and builds and builds. And next thing you know, you're in under your covers and you're just feeling awful and you don't want to do anything. And, you know, you start making really bad decisions that you shouldn't. And of course, that's to the extreme. There might be some people who, you know, you just have a couple of negative thoughts come up into your mind, whatever it is. But let's talk about that crisis, that meltdown moment. The first thing that you need to do is just stop it right away. You know, just stop. Just stop those negative thoughts. Tell yourself, stop, stop it. Just say stop. And then you take a couple deep breaths. You breathe in, you breathe out, you focus on your breathing, calming yourself down. And then I want you to pull out some of the affirmations from your arsenal. And I remember I don't even know how many years ago. I don't remember who the motivational speaker was. I want to say it's like Iyanla, but it was something that I read or I heard or something. And it was like this affirmation to say, I am peace, I am joy, I am light. I am peace, I am joy, I am light. And that is something that has helped me. If you just repeat that in yourself, that will disrupt the negative thought pattern. You breathe deeply and you say that to yourself over and over again in your mind, or you can say it out loud until you calm down. I am peace, I am joy, I am light. And you can add other things to it, you know, like I am love, you know, you can say I am kindness, I am joy, whatever other words that you can say. But I like to say I am peace, I am joy, I am light. And just keep repeating yourself and then focus on one of them. And so after you've said that, those three things, then you do whichever one speaks to your condition in the moment. I am joy. I am joy. I am joy. You just repeat that to yourself. I am joy. I am joy. I am joy until you just feel in the atmosphere shift a little bit. And then once you feel like you've calmed down a little bit, you know, you deep breaths and you've pulled out some things from your arsenal. Now it's time for you to reflect a little bit. You need to examine what emotions you're feeling and think about what's the source of the emotions, right? For me, a lot of times when I beat myself up in the past, it had to do with somebody else. Because like I said, I am still working on being too nice. And I think the term is a people pleaser. I've been praying that God will make me a Jesus pleaser instead of a people pleaser. But I am somebody who likes to be liked and I like people to have a good impression of me. And I like to make people happy and I like to help others, you know, and some of that comes from the way that I was raised. But I think also some of that comes from how God made me. Like I am somebody who likes to help other people and I like to see people be happy and I like to share good things with others, you know. So when I feel like somebody's disappointed in me or when I feel like I've let somebody down or when I feel somebody's not happy with me, that can trigger a snowball effect. For other people, it might be your work performance. Maybe, you know, that could happen too for me and my teaching, right? Maybe you just feel like you didn't do as well as you could have done. And maybe there was a supervisor who was there. Guys, this happens to me. Let me tell you, just to digress for a second. Every year I get an evaluation at work. And every year I freak out about it. Now, I don't think that I'm a superstar teacher. You know, some of my friends would differ to say, but I think I'm a solid, good teacher, right? And I really care about my my kids. And every day I can honestly say that I go in and I give it my best. But when it comes to an administrator coming into my classroom and observing me, something happens. I just freak out. Like, I get super anxious. I get super nervous. I'm scared. And, you know, thank God for my awesome students because they are always so kind. So it's like really nerve-wracking to have somebody like observe you. And every day you could be doing phenomenal. But then the day they sit there, you know, all of a sudden you're aware of every flaw and every fault. And so I freak out after the evaluation, after they come in. That's where my negativity starts coming in. And I start building this big, you know, and I start in the Lord. I'm talking to, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. I messed this up and it's going to be art. And I just go into this negative tailspin. And, you know, bless the sweet Jesus. He says to me throughout all of this, he's like, trust me, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And guys, can I tell you that every single year, the evaluation has been phenomenal. I even had one year when somebody was like, you were so great. I didn't know you were such a great teacher because I don't get to come in, you know, and this is after I've already been negative for like, you know, the kids are like, what's wrong, Ms. Tomlinson? What's wrong? And I'm like, nothing, you know, and now they're telling me that I did a great job and they're telling me all these awesome things that they see. And so I say all that to say I totally understand that negative spiral that can happen when you feel like you're not doing your best at the job, when you feel like somebody might have witnessed, you know, what you did, or somebody, you know, sometimes we write a whole novel in our minds because we just know that people are denigrating, they're just looking down on us, they're just talking bad about us. And some people didn't even notice. Because listen, if you belong to God, you have to trust in his favor. If you belong to Jesus, you have to know that the Lord, he's got you. So there are certain things when I'm meeting with my administrator and I'm thinking this happened, they never even noticed. And a lot of times some people are so caught up in their own world, they don't notice you. I'm sorry to say that, but it's not, they don't notice what's going on. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. But we get into this place where we just spiral out of control because this is a symptom of our self-esteem and how we look at ourselves and whether we love ourselves. And so we become so super negative, guys. Excuse me. And so try to get back to what I was talking about. And so, you know, whatever it is, you're asking yourself, like, why am I feeling this way? And sometimes when you think about it logically, when you really examine it, when you get out of the routine and the rote, you know, the roteness of, like, I don't know if that's the word roteness, but if you go, when you get out of this, off of this treadmill of self-hate and self-deprecation and self, you know, beating yourself down, and you really think about it, excuse me, guys, you really think about it, you're like, wait a minute. You know, like, why am I feeling bad about this? And then when you really start to process it, you're able to, like, to get over that hump. And for me, this is something I had to forcibly do because it's kind of like I could either sit here and accept this negativity and just be mad. And believe me, once you get into that mood, all of a sudden, this is where this triggers overeating for some people. Right, this negativity will trigger you drinking for some people, you know, trigger all kinds of things. But if you can really, first of all, calm yourself down and really take the time to reflect and examine what is at the root of this, what caused this, and it couldn't be something that you genuinely did mess up on. But this is a moment for you to be a friend to yourself. This is a moment for you to say, it's okay. It's okay. We are human. We make mistakes. You know what? I believe the next time I will do better. I will apologize if apologies need to be made. Apologize without putting yourself down. You know, we're going to talk about that next. I will apologize without putting myself down. You know, I'll apologize if necessary. I will try to make amends if necessary. But it's okay because I am not perfect. I am not perfect. Nobody is perfect. Even the person that I look up to, my mentor or somebody I admire, they are not perfect either. They have to put their pants on one foot at a time, just like me, right? And so you just give yourself some love because if it was your best friend that happened to, what would you say to your best friend if they're freaking out and they're having a moment? How would you help them to calm down? Right? And so in that meltdown moment, in that crisis moment, really take the time to examine your emotions and think about, why am I feeling this way? What's the source of it? Because once you get at the source of it, then you can better address it. And just make it, when you're in that meltdown, after you've stopped yourself, after you've breathed, Breathe. Yeah, after you breathe. After you have, taken out your arsenal and you said, I am peace, I am joy, I am light, or you said that I am, I am confident, I am secure, all of the, whatever your little affirmation moment is that you pulled out. And now that you've examined everything, just take the time to just walk yourself through it and just, to process your emotions and see what's at the core of it, address it, speak to it, and move on with your day. Let it be a learning moment. And of course, my go-to, of course, now is to pray. Prayer is something that you can do without saying it out loud. I pray and I talk to the Lord. Sometimes that's how I get out of it. I stop myself and I say, okay, let me ground myself. And I say, Lord, help me. Please help me, Jesus. Whatever it is, you don't have to be formal when you talk to your daddy God. You can be like, Jesus, Lord, help me. Please, Lord, help me. Help me. And he will help you. He will give you his peace. And he will just still you if you allow yourself to do that. So those are just some steps to take when you are in the meltdown. And I want to end with talking about being loyal to yourself and self-respect. So to me, this is not the dictionary this time, to, Adrienne Tomlinson. To me, loyalty means that I have the back of the person that I am loyal to. That means I will not speak negatively about you to other people, and they will not be allowed to speak negatively about you in my presence. That's just, in fact, some people don't even try me in that way because they know that, I'm like a genuine friend. And loyalty means that I am going to be there for you if you need me. It means that I'm sticking to you. I'm faithful to you. I'm standing next to you. And whatever you got to fight, holy fight, because I can't fight literally, but whatever you have to fight, I'm there. I'm praying. I got your back, right? And so we need to have the same loyalty to ourselves. Part of having low self-esteem, part of not loving yourself, is sometimes we don't have our own backs. So that means that people could be saying negative things about us and we agree. Or we are the ones who are putting ourselves down in front of other people. So this is something that I've learned over the years. Do not put yourself down to make somebody else feel good, to please them. Sometimes we do it. And I really want you to be aware of this, because sometimes it's such a part of us that we don't even realize it. And we think that it's just a joke and it's jest, but it's not. I've heard people say, oh, you're so pretty. Oh my God, you're so beautiful. I'm so ugly though. Like, no, right? Or, you don't have to put yourself down to compliment somebody else. Oh gosh, you're so smart. Oh, you're so smart. You got that degree. I could never get that degree. I do. Guys, I'm guilty. I've been guilty of that. Like, we put ourselves down and it's almost like a natural reaction, a natural part of ourselves. Don't put yourself down to uplift and compliment other people. Be loyal to yourself. I refuse. Say to yourself, I refuse to make myself look lower or debased, or make myself look like a loser, or make myself look like whatever negative word, so that somebody else can feel good about themselves, or somebody else can feel superior to me. Remember, guys, I told you I could do a whole episode on inferiority, because I had a huge inferiority complex growing up. Right. And so this is something that I had to learn to get over. Like, don't put yourself down to make other people feel good. So that means that in my relationships, in my friendships, I will not create a space where people feel comfortable to insult me and get away with it. I will not create a space where people feel good because they feel better than me, because I put and debase and derog, and berate myself and denigrate myself. No, that's part of the self-talk. That's part of the negativity. Loving myself means that I build myself up. It does not mean being vain. We're not talking about being vain and conceited, but we're talking about genuine love for ourselves means that I protect my heart. I protect my reputation. I protect who I am. And so when I speak about myself, I'm speaking about myself in a positive view, because I got my back. Listen, guys, it's the same thing. Think about your family. Let me tell you something. You can have an issue with your family. You can have an issue with your brother, your mother, your sister, your uncle, whoever, right? And you say something, but don't let anybody else out there say something. they better not talk about my family member, right? And so it's kind of like some of that, not all of that, because you shouldn't be saying anything negative about yourself, period. But you need to have some of that same, like that same offense that you take when somebody talks about, like, it just doesn't feel good. It does not feel good on the inside when people talk about people that we love. And I hope I'm not the only one that happens to, because I really don't, and I don't feel comfortable. And even if it's a family member that I really don't get along with, don't talk about them. Don't. That's part of my love for them, because, you know, you can love people and just not like them or not be getting along with them, but you still have love and they belong to me. And that's the same thing we need to think about ourselves. Like, no, you don't talk about me negatively. There should be some sort of response in us when people talk about us negatively in a derogatory way. And I'm not talking about somebody giving you constructive criticism that is born out of love. I'm talking about straight up putting you down. Don't let them put you down, and you better not put yourself down, and especially not in front of people. I don't know if some people think that people think that you're humble. You know, they give you points for being humble because you're just not thinking so highly of yourself. Nah, I'm sorry to get ghetto with you for a second. Nah, that's not how it works. What happens is that people realize that you don't love yourself, and so now they know that they can mistreat you. Now they know that because people will try you. Let me tell you guys, there's nothing like kids trying you, right? My kids try me all the time because they need to know the boundaries and they need to know how much they can push before, you know, I go off, so to speak. Same thing with people. You teach them how to treat you. And this is something that Gia Roberts, my best friend, ever since I met her, that's something she's told me, right? You teach people how to treat you. So you have to set up your own boundaries. But if you are constantly putting yourself down, even if you're not even thinking about it consciously, don't do it, because you're creating an environment for abuse. You're creating an environment for people to take advantage of you. Had to learn that the hard way. Had to learn the hard way that I need to have my back, that I need to be in my corner, that I need to fight for me just like I would fight for anybody else, right? I had to learn that my words matter. And can you imagine how a child would feel if they caught their parents talking bad about them to somebody else or to another child, or how your best friend would feel if they walk in and hear you putting them down in front of somebody else, right? And when I think about that, it makes me want to cry to think about how, you know, my tender self, my inner child, my inner Andrine feels to hear me tell somebody else something bad about myself. And I'm not talking about those times when, you know, you're just like, I'm too fat. You know what? You're saying it not in a way to put yourself down, but you're saying it as an honest assessment. You're saying that to your best friend, I need to lose weight. Of course, you have good best friends like I do. They come against that in the name of Jesus, right? But the kind of denigration of, like, you know, just really, like, I've been around people like that, guys. I've had students like that, and I've tried to help them. It's just negative. No, I'm just not smart. Oh, I'm just so ugly. You know, it starts young. It really does. It starts young, and I'm trying to do my part to come against it. So please, this is the last part of this episode, the last piece of what I wanted to talk about today. And if this is not you guys, you know, just be on the lookout for somebody else you can minister to or you can encourage. But please make sure that we are speaking when it's talking about talk, self-talk, how you talk to yourself in your mind, how you talk to yourself or about yourself. You talk to yourself or about yourself in your mind, how you talk to yourself or about yourself out loud. Your subconscious mind is listening. Your subconscious mind is always listening. And this is like science, I think, right? This is science. This is not Andrine. This is science. You can go and look it up. Your subconscious mind is listening. And remember, the Bible says that words have power. It says the power of life and death is in the tongue. So choose life. What are you speaking over yourself? What are you speaking about yourself? T.D. Jakes also said this, I think, in his book, Woman, Thou Art Loose. I have that book. I started it. I didn't finish it. But I believe he said, be careful of what you put behind the words I am. Be careful of what you put behind I am. Because this is an opportunity, thinking about affirmations, is an opportunity to build yourself up, or it's an opportunity to assassinate yourself, right? So be careful of what you say, I am. And guys, once again, you know, this is something that I am working on. I have not reached it yet, the level, you know, that I want to be at. This is a constant daily fight, constant daily opportunity to get to know myself, a daily opportunity to build up my arsenal to counterattack, an opportunity for me to shut it down. And I'm telling y'all, since I have made that decision a few months back that I am going to watch the way that I talk to myself, I shut it down. And you, once you shut it down a few times, it doesn't come up as often. I haven't had that a moment like that in a long time. And I try to be aware of it. I even go extra, you know, like I won't even let myself even like, you know, because sometimes it's like, it's not that. No, like you are not allowed to make any negative judgments about me. I'm a work in progress. I am getting better every day. Those are some of the things I tell myself. I'm a work in progress. I'm getting better every day. I am proud of myself. I'm proud of how far God has brought me. I'm proud of the work that He's doing within me. I'm proud that I am not where I started. I'm proud that every day I'm getting a little bit better. And those are some of the things that you should say to yourself. So guys, I really, really hope that out of all of those things that I said today, that something there resonated with you, that something touched your heart and touched your spirit and touched your mind. I really pray that you, even if you feel like you have high self-esteem, that you, you know, there's always room for improvement. I pray that you will take this journey with us, with those of us who have decided that we want to love ourselves more. You know, if not now, then when? It took me to 39 before I finally decided to really get serious, because it's something that I knew I had to do for years. And I just never, it never clicked until this year, until I heard Emanuela's podcast. It was just the right, it was the right moment. You know, it was finally the right moment for me to get it together and really get it, that this is something that I need to do. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Like I said, I got it at 39. If you could get it younger than me, like this is why I tell my kids, man, if I could get some of my students to learn, start loving themselves in middle school, can you imagine the heartache that we can avoid? Can you imagine some of the horrible decisions that we can avert? So it doesn't matter if you're 39, if you're 29, if you're 69, if you're 59, you know, this podcast is for everyone. Even if you're a 9-year-old, right? I'm joking, not a 9-year-old. But even if you're like 19, if you're a young adult, this is for everyone. The work, do the work it takes to love yourself, and start with how you talk to yourself, because out of that comes a lot, a lot. A lot of self-love comes from just the words that we say to and about ourselves. So And we are going to do an upcoming episode on friendship and relationships, because that's part of self-love as well, your village. And we're going to have a special guest, my best friend, Minister Gia Roberts. She has written an awesome book called Take the Lead, which I was blessed to edit. And she's going to come on, and we're going to talk about friendships. We're going to talk about your village and how you create your village. We're going to talk about what type of friends you should have as you're going on the self, you know, how to winnow out the good sheep from the sheep from the goats. Although goats are delicious. You know, a Jamaican has to say that. So we're going to have an upcoming episode about, you know, just the importance of friendship, because like I said, I have an awesome village. I have great friends. Two amazing best friends, and I have just awesome friends, period. Awesome friends, period. People that I love and who love me. So we're going to have an episode on that, because that is so important for self-love. So you guys know that I love to end the podcast off with a prayer, because, you know, why wouldn't I? God is awesome. So if you will just bow your heads with me, if you're able, if you're driving, don't bow your heads. Just, you know, agree with us in spirit. But let's go before the Lord. Father God, you are so awesome, and I love you, Lord God. I thank you so much for being wonderful and amazing and kind and patient and so good, Lord. I thank you so much, Father God, for this podcast. I thank you so much, Lord God, for the the women who are listening, Lord God. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, for just reminding us that we need to do that work to really love ourselves, Lord, because you love us. Father, I pray that you will give us the eyes to see ourselves the way you see us, Lord God, so that we can see ourselves as women of value and women of worth, women who have been created for a purpose, with a purpose for such a time as this. Father God, I pray that you'll touch the hearts and the minds of everyone listening, God. I pray that you will pour out your love, your peace, your mercy, your grace, your compassion, your awesome faithfulness upon them, Lord God. Father, I pray that you will be with them, bless them in all their ways, Lord God. And Father God, I pray that you would just begin to stir up in them a desire to take care of themselves, a desire to really get to know themselves, a desire to really love themselves, Lord. Give them the heart to do the work it takes, Lord God, because when they love themselves, Lord, that's when they can do the most for your kingdom. Father, we love you so much. We bless you. We glorify, we honor you, and we thank you for being our God, our King, and our Master. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today and for listening. I believe this podcast episode is a bit longer than usual. So if you made it this far, God bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. And may your household always be blessed. Thank you guys so much. I hope you will tune in to the next episode as we continue learning and talking and discussing about self-love. And Lord, ladies, remember that what we're sharing here are pearls of wisdom, right? Pearls of wisdom. And please, 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 please leave me a message. I haven't gotten any messages yet. If any, you know, you guys can leave me a message. There's going to be a link in the description. If you're an anchor, you can send me a message, right straight through. I would love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts. Love to hear any feedback. Anything you want me to include in the episode, I can put your message that you leave me in the episode. Just please leave me a message, guys. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope that you guys will be safe and blessed, and that I will see you next time, or you will tune in next time. God bless you. Take care. Thank you for joining us today. You have been listening to the Pearls for My Sister podcast. Ladies, don't forget to clutch your pearls. God bless you, and we will see you next time.